Hi, everyone. Dr. Maria Sampolis, thank you for joining the Reframing Eye Care podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Randall Harrell. We're doing an industry spotlight today on Regenerize and the founder of Regenerize. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Sampolis, for having me.
Yeah. So I want to introduce him. For those of you that do not know, he is the founder, CEO, CMO of Regenerize. He boasts about 40 years experience and became a real pioneer in the field. Today, we're going to be diving in and talking more about his work with Regenerize. His beginnings start as a research scientist at Emory University to his tenure at the VA in Houston, Texas, where he directed burn and wound unit. He's had a journey where he's marked with innovation and dedication, and his patent technologies have led to numerous advancements in regenerative medicine, earning him recognition and acclaim worldwide. So it's so great to have you on the podcast today and just get a spotlight on you and you know, industry individuals, because we want to know what the background story is for a lot of the founders and what inspired them to, you know, start these companies. So I hear that you're from Georgia. How was that growing up? And give us an insight of what your childhood was like.
So I was born and raised in the Okefenokee Swamp. So to say the least, it was a very unusual upbringing. The Indians used to call it the land of the trembling earth because a lot of it wasn't solid ground. The Okefenokee Swamp, for the people that don't know, is the largest swamp in North America. The walking on some of the land is almost like walking on a waterbed. So it was very odd. And I thought it was a big disadvantage when I was a child. But in retrospect, looking back, it allowed me to really understand nature on a very deep level and understand how life really began. And, you know, getting lizards and growing a new tail is very fascinating to me, how they can regenerate a new tail. My mother probably went crazy because I'd get lizards and put them in the freezer and freeze them and bring them back to life. And she always questioned about why I was doing that. But it was very fascinating to me to see life regenerated like that. So when I kept going and went to Emory, I was very fortunate because I was able to go to the place where this started the tumor biology and clinical immunology. It was very cutting edge. This was back in the 70s. So it was very, very much ahead of its time. I was measuring cyclic AMP and T cells in cancer patients. And a lot of people didn't know what that was all about. But it's progressed so much since then. And I was lucky enough to be able to start the first regenerative medicine program in the Texas Medical Center, which is the largest medical center in the world in Houston, Texas. And I was able to get my first patent there. Now I've got 131 patents and 67 peer-reviewed scientific white papers and 13 book chapters. And it really helps explain how all this regenerative medicine actually works for patients and doctors alike. So we're very happy to get to where we are today.
So what inspired you to like dream up of Regenerize and ultimately create it?
I was actually very close to my mother. You know, I realized that she was having some kind of immunological problem. I took her to a lot of the specialists. I was able to get the best specialists in the world to see her, but they could never make a diagnosis. So finally, she finally got a diagnosis of mixed connective tissue disease. For the people who don't know, they used to call it overlap syndrome. But that really had an impression on me. We were able to get something that was very unique and do something that would actually change a lot of the standard of care. So, you know, once I understood that and how the body can actually change from one to another, depending on the stages, you can actually think about inflammation, immunity, how you can actually change that. And if you can catch it early on before all the pathological changes happen, you can actually prevent that and go to homeostasis. We used to use a term called niche. Now most people use the term microenvironment. It's really where all the magic happens. And it's usually a very small place. It might be part of the eye. It might just be some segment of the eye. But if you get down to that level, that's where it happens on a molecular level. And it can have an effect on the whole eye or, you know, any part of the body that you get inflammation. So understanding the mechanisms of that was very important. So I wanted to do something in dry eye space. When I first started reading about the dry eye space, because my mother had severe dry eyes from her mixed necks of tissue disease, the state of the art was, you know, not completely understood how the dry eye worked. A lot of people were not sure. They knew it was multifactorial. I talked to Donald Korb, which is one of the leaders in the field, by getting meibomian gland dysfunction understood better. And I remember when I was talking to him, he asked me, as a neophyte, he said, "What do you think causes dry eyes?" And I said, "Well, it's like you've written about it. A part of it is, you know, meibomian gland dysfunction. If you really look at some of the mechanical and the molecular changes that happens is with the eye, especially anterior hyperosmolality, that's really a way to catch it early before it gets to more of the deeper pathological states. And we've been very happy to write and co-author a paper with Dr. Lisa Fulner to actually describe how that actually works.
Great. So you've given back to the community. Regenerize has made contributions to, you know, those in need for an environmental wildfire with a dry eye donation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we like to give back. You know, our motto is, you know, doing well by doing good. So we try to do things that are good for patients and doctors alike. So the recent Maui fires, you know, we had some patients that were using our products there, and they lost their products because of the fires. And sometimes they had really horrible stories about this, being in the water, watch their homes burn and all the smoke. And if they had problems with dry eyes before, it exacerbated that by having all the smoke and fires that they were involved with. So, and they had supply chain issues. So we wanted to do something to give back. So we're able to give some free Regenerize to some of the patients in need and some of the foundations there on the island of Maui and the main island was able to help get the supply chain to get it to people in need. So we're very happy to be able to participate in that.
Yeah, that's great. Can you elaborate on the experience and the collaborative efforts with Hawaiian Eye Foundation that was mentioned in the Maui article published in Optometry Times? Because that's where I saw it, and I was pretty impressed by it.
No, they were actually very instrumental in getting this to the patients in need because the supply chain literally was completely broken. And so they had to do a lot of different things to actually get it delivered by hand sometimes. So I put my hat off to what they were able to accomplish on the islands.
Yeah, it's great when industry comes together to help those in need. I mean, I think it is a duty, I think, for a lot of companies to give back. So, you know, and before you mentioned your, you know, latest white paper with Dr. Lisa Fulner, it explores the mechanical mechanisms responsible for tear hyperosmolarity induced pathological changes for the eye for dry eye. Can you give us some more insight for the listeners that, you know, haven't read the paper and just to get some insight on how they can, you know, utilize it in their practice?
So, you know, I think people are more and more knowledgeable about hyperosmolality, especially tear hyperosmolality, and changing this osmolality, even when you get anywhere above, you know, 316 milliosmoles per liter, you change the environment completely, and it changes the channels in some of the eyes, and it, you know, opens up the possibility of having inflammatory cytokines come in. Then you get inflammatory cells coming in, and then you get the full blown inflammatory process. So if you can change that early on to get more of the, you know, the homeostasis is really the gold. And your eyes usually don't have a deficiency of drugs. They usually have a deficiency of particular proteins that, you know, they need to be able to function. So getting that homeostasis back allows the body to actually heal and work like it's supposed to, including the eye. So, and we go into kind of deep detail about how the mechanics work, how the molecular changes work. And we wanted to get it down to the most detailed level so we could have a clear understanding of how all this works.
Excellent. Great. What has been the VA initiative with Regenerize lately?
Well, you know, I did spend time when I was in Houston at the VAs and running their burn clinics. And I saw a lot of unmet need, especially when you started talking about the eye. There was limited options on treating the eye, even with some of these severe burns that would come in. And so I always knew that there was a big opportunity to help people with dry eyes, burnt corneas, you know, a lot of different things that you see in those type of environments, especially the soldiers that came back from some of the wars where they sometimes they were, you know, close to burn pits. For the people that don't know, burn pits are just a big hole in the ground. They throw all their trash in there and put, you know, kerosene on it, light it on fire. And depending on where you're stationed, you get this big black plume of smoke that you're breathing and exposing your eyes to. And it's very devastating for the eyes, for the lungs. And doing something to improve that was a major initiative for us. And I think that we will have a lot of opportunities in the future to even help a lot of the veterans even more with some of their health problems.
Yeah, that's great. Giving back to the veterans is very important. What is what does Regenerize future look like? What are some things that are in the pipeline, if you can share with us?
So we focused on dry eyes because it's such a common problem. 40 million people in the U.S., you know, 360 million worldwide. And it's getting more recognized now. But there's a lot of other, you know, diseases that don't really have good options. We would like to go after each one of these diseases, ocular cancers, glaucoma, a lot of different things, and get different indications in the future for different formulations, different things that we can actually change how the microenvironment works and get more true healing instead of this, you know, drugs that don't really get the healing. You're on the long term. Sometimes they do more damage than they do good. So that's never really made sense to me. Getting back to homeostasis and getting more healing, that's where all that occurs. That seems like a more beneficial way for patients going forward.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Is there anything else you would like to add about Regenerize or dry eye in general for our listeners?
Well, as far as Regenerize, a lot of people are understanding more about how the tear hyperosmolality actually works and having a hypotonic solution that can actually work on the osmotic protectors is a new way of looking at dry eyes and relief of dry eyes. So we're very happy with the results we're getting with that. In the future, we have a lot of, you know, things in the pipeline for R&D and different things that I think would help the eye industry. You know, one of the things that I'm very happy with is I've kind of got back to my roots. If you can see behind me, I've got a picture of the Okefenokee Swamp right behind me. I'm lucky enough to live in Florida. It's a great environment to really kind of learn and do new things that can really help people and you know, do well by doing good once again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you, and thank you for the work that you do, and looking forward to see what else is coming out in the pipeline to help us in our practices and our patients.
Thanks again.